First with us now is Chris Babcock, editor-in-chief of the El Paso Herald-Post, and Jim Bebbington, who's editor of the Dayton Daily News. Gentlemen, thank you both for joining us in what I'm sure are trying times for both you guys and both of your communities. Let's begin with you, Chris, and then you, Jim, and give us a very brief update on the latest in each of your places. So, Chris, first you in El Paso.
Well, thanks so much for having me, guys. Basically, the update right now at 1:05, 1:06 p.m. Your all's time, we had unfortunate news reach us this morning that the death toll had claimed two more victims that were in the hospital. So we are now at a total of 22 dead and still over 20 injured, many critically still in the hospital with what can only be described as warlike injuries. The weapon that was used, an AK-47, those that are familiar with that type of firearm, it looks like it did exactly the damage it was intended to do, and then some. We had the mayor issue a local disaster declaration to open us up for state and local funding and possibly federal funding as the week moves on. The crime scene is still an active crime scene. It is, if you did not know, passing by the Walmart, which is really dead center in the middle of our city, it's a very popular shopping area. It's easy to reach. It's within walking distance of a school and a very, very nice neighborhood. And it drew shoppers from all over the tri-state area, you know, New Mexico, Texas, and, of course, our neighbors over in Chihuahua. And the gunman did not discriminate. He got residents from here in El Paso, from suburbs, from actually in the interior of Chihuahua and our sister city of Juarez. In fact, as I was preparing to come on the air this morning, actually I found out yesterday, but officially this morning, I live in a suburb about 26 miles outside of El Paso, and we found out that one of the victims was a 15-year-old sophomore from the high school in our suburb, and we're just completely devastated. And that story is repeating itself in countless neighborhoods and countless homes. You know, we're a city of almost 800,000, but everybody knows everybody else. And I can tell you to a person that there are victims that people know, and it's only 1 or 2 degrees of separation.
Yeah, you're feeling it across the community. Jim, in Dayton, the latest from where you are.
Well, right now, the community really came together last night, just about 20 hours. There was really an unprecedented public sort of re-cleansing of the community or of the Oregon District, which is the name of the area where this shooting occurred. There were about 1,000 people just shoulder to shoulder wedged in for a memorial for the victims. And there was also, when the governor spoke, yells from the crowd for him to do something, you know, do something presumably about gun laws or access by folks like the perpetrator here to the weapon he used. The 24-year-old who is appears responsible in this shooting is a lot is coming to light about him. There is a number of disturbing stories that we're hearing from former high school and junior high classmates that he had expressed some pretty extreme violent tendencies, might have had hit lists and been suspended from school. And Ohio juvenile records are very hard to obtain by the media, so we're seeking some other alternatives there. But you know, there is some evidence that he had some violent thinkings along the years growing up, but in recent years, zero. I mean, he's got no record, and we're hearing from people who had known him just recently that he had not expressed or demonstrated any significant odd behavior. So very much a community trying to still sort of come to grips with what happened and why.
Jim Bebbington there, editor of the Dayton Daily News. We also heard from Chris Babcock, editor-in-chief, El Paso Herald's Post. Thanks to both of you for being with us.